This is Strange Harbor.
Stories of UFO sightings and alien abductions date back centuries. My next guest says the rumors are true. He was abducted by aliens 45 years ago.
The abduction phenomenon is clandestine. The way the secrecy prevails is that first and foremost, the abductees are not allowed to remember what happened to them. So when they do remember, it's not a full memory. It's in bits and pieces of memory.
I did a polygraph, a voice stress test. There were eyewitnesses to this account.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, Alien Sasquatch, all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird,
the strange, the unsuspecting, and the unreliable.
Johnny and Billy here, and we like to talk about strange topics like UFOs, Bigfoots, near-death ghosts, near-death ghosts.
Conspiracies and haunted houses and strange things that happen in the world. There are lots of strange things happening in the world.
There is. We just got through the UFO Paranormal Summit this last weekend, and what a ride it was, Bill, let me tell you.
Yeah, what happened? Tell me about it.
Well, I had to make a couple trips down to Portland Airport to pick up one of the Navajo Rangers, pick up the alien hunter, different days, of course. But it's always interesting. I had taken a video camera with me because I wanted to record the conversations on the drive back.
Yeah.
Well, I picked one up at night, so that kind of, you know, you couldn't record in the dark. Plus, we got a blizzard, and it was quite the challenge just to get home. Luckily, he, Jonathan Dover, who's a Navajo Ranger, or was a Navajo Ranger, he's a paranormal ranger now, is his title. He's used to driving in worse conditions than that, so he was able to give me some tips, because he's seen it all when it comes to road conditions where he lives. And so, anyway, we got him to the hotel. Same with Alien Hunter. Weather wasn't as bad. And then the entire weekend, you know, I'm still recovering from the surgery, so it was. There were times where it wasn't all that pleasant, but we got through it, and record numbers of attendance.
Awesome.
And we Skyped in Grant Cameron with his disclosure announcement. That was pretty exciting, and Peter Davenport actually gave a presentation on something that could possibly put UFO conferences out of business.
Oh, yeah?
Just with an FM transmitter. But what he did with his presentation, just to simplify it for everybody, he brought a little boombox, he brought the lid to his frying pan, and then he brought, I think it was like a flashlight, to try to demonstrate the line of sight and what you would need to be able to run an FM transmitter as a UFO kind of detector. And, you know, we have transmitters here, and if we set everything up right, it wouldn't interfere with our regular broadcast, but it could detect 24 hours a day. It could detect things in the sky with his proposal. It was quite fascinating. So
it's just kind of like radar, where you bounce a signal off something, or what? How does it work?
Well, I think... Well, the proposal,
or is that too technical?
Well,
right,
the proposal... The proposal is posted on his website, and we'll put a link to that on Strange Harbor down at the bottom, and you could read it yourself.
All right. That's a good way out. That's
right, right. It's really not all that technical.
Yeah.
But his verbiage is, and it was just really... Really cool. So I've already started talking to the boss about, hey, could we possibly do this without it, you know, interfering with anything and stuff? So kind of looking into it to where we'll have our own kind of UFO detector.
Yeah.
Using things that we already have.
Well, and just think of all the radio stations and the different types of broadcast media that would have the ability to send and receive signals. Of course, even homes that have people that have ham radios and other things. I have some people that have ham radios in my neighborhood, and they've got these giant towers.
Oh, do they?
Yard. Yeah, you know, all these 60 and 80 foot towers they broadcast from. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, if we could all kind of turn into UFO detectors.
Have you seen our website lately?
I have not looked at it.
It's quite the change, I got to tell you.
Okay.
You might be shocked with what you see. But
I looked at it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was... I noticed the skull with the headphones was not there anymore, and it looked more professional and laid out. It was easier to find the archived episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Tried to make it a little more easy, and forgot to take that off there. No more flashing.
I see the light. I see the light.
We've been posting strange articles on the website, and, you know, we have a lot, and we continue to post more every day. For example, the most terrifying ghost stories. Proof Illuminati controls the music industry. Falling under our conspiracy kind of category. Even to reported UFO sightings to Bill Puckett, UFOs Northwest.
Yeah.
A paper suggesting that gravity is just a product of quantum mechanics. People can comment on them, or, you know, you could even pull one for the show and say, you know, I think this is malarkey, and this is why. We just wanted to kind of freshen it up for people. And
good, good.
And
what I saw a few weeks ago looked pretty good. Was very professional looking, and not that it wasn't before.
Right.
But it's
right.
It was a little better organized. It was easier to find things.
Yeah, trying to make it better. Always trying to make it better.
Right.
But, you know, it's not like we're paid to do this.
Yeah.
You know, we do this for the love of, you know, just the love of it.
The love of craziness.
Right. The love of strangeness. And, you know, if people wanted to support us, we do have a Patreon that absolutely nobody has contributed to so far. So that kind of shows how much people appreciate what we do.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah, it would be nice if we had a little money to spend on something.
Like gas?
Like gas or,
yeah.
You know, maybe some new equipment to do this. But, you know, this is fun. It's interesting. We learn things. We grow. We become better people when we have a broader understanding of the paranormal. And it's interesting because the paranormal, which just means that it's outside or beside the normal, becomes the normal after we begin to prove some of these things. Space travel at one time was, you know, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, was paranormal because it wasn't the normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be paranormal not to have a gun strapped to your hip.
Right.
Because that was not the normal thing in the Wild West. So the paranormal just means that we haven't quite integrated those things into our normal lives. And some of the things, you know, are probably BS, and we won't ever do it, ever integrate them. But other things like UFOs and near-death experience and ghosts and other things, we may eventually have some answers. And then we can incorporate that into the normal, and it will no longer be paranormal. It will be the normal thought process.
You're starting to sound like a witch. We're going to have to hang you.
Goodness, yeah, probably.
They used to do that, right?
That's right. Yeah, we used to hang witches. We used to burn them.
Mm-hmm.
They would tie them to a stake and burn them alive.
How come we're not bringing?
They would drown them.
How come we're not bringing up like charges against people that have done this?
Well, because the people that did that are all dead.
And
it wouldn't be much.
Well, let's get their families. Right?
How about we just make reparations to the families of the witches?
Oh, of course. Okay. There we go. They probably had things taken from them, too, besides their lives.
Oh, I'm sure they did. They probably had all their belongings confiscated.
I'd like to have that, please. Thank you.
Yes.
So, at the UFO Paranormal Summit, when I had time, I pulled some of the speakers off to the side and asked them some questions for the show. I only got two of, I think, the eight, but you know, it's kind of hard to run around and, you know, put out fires, put out witch fires, and then, you know, fix things that need fixed and figure things out, and then interview people. So I interviewed Sarah Nash. She's of the White Light Express. Also interviewed Alita DB. She's with MUFON, so maybe in the next, you know, couple shows we'll air those. What do you think?
I think that sounds good. You know, MUFON, speaking of paranormal and what's normal and what's outside the normal, MUFON is like one of the most normal organizations that I've ever seen. And the people in MUFON are so down to earth and so normal, I mean psychologically normal,
mm-hmm.
That it's fun to talk to them because they talk about UFOs and the search for extraterrestrials and all that in a very normal manner, in a very reasonable and rational manner. And this is what it's going to take to start integrating some of that into our normal lifestyle, is to be able to communicate it in a rational manner. And these guys do a really, really good job of that.
Whenever you say normal, I keep thinking of the National Organization of the Re-Legalization. And I was in a band called Fine Silver Thread, and we did a song called Normal Guy.
Yeah.
And it was spelled, you know, the initializations for that group, because the singer was pro-marijuana, and, you know, I'm just a normal guy. Yeah. Anyway, maybe we'll play it one of these days.
I used to teach a class on abnormal psychology.
Yeah?
But in order to figure out what's abnormal, we first had to figure out what's normal.
Right.
And to define normal was very difficult,
mm-hmm.
because it's not one thing. I mean, normal is a whole range of behaviors, as is abnormal, where abnormal falls outside the range of normal behavior. But the range of normal behavior shifts all the time. I mean, you know, we were just talking about, you know, having a gun strapped to your hip was a normal thing back mm-hmm. in the 1800s in the Wild West. Well, today that would not be normal behavior, unless you're in Alabama.
Right.
And so normal changes. What's normal changes as we develop, as we mature, as we become more enlightened. And I don't think we understand that term enlightenment very well yet.
Well, define it.
Oh, well, yeah, right. You got a couple hours?
Sorry.
Now, basically, enlightenment is, you know, enlightenment is a greater understanding of the universe and how we fit in the universe, how we interact with the energy of the universe, and that's the energy that permeates all living things. And, you know, in its most basic form is just knowledge of what is and our relationship to the universe and the spirit and God and all that.
That right there is strange.
It is. I know. It's strange.
Hey, let's start.
I never claimed to be normal.
Let's start talking about strange stuff like Sasquatch and UFO. You had any sightings or anything lately?
No, I really haven't. I was trying to think of something happened the other day that was
it strange?
Strange, and I can't think of what it was now. But I haven't seen any UFOs or Sasquatch or anything in the recent times.
I got a phone call over the weekend. I was decompressing from the summit because it just kicks my butt.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus the mending, it didn't help. And I let my voicemail get it, but then he called me at the station here like yesterday or day before.
Yeah.
And he had attended the Sasquatch Summit this last November. That's how I met this guy, and he's a fisherman, not a commercial fisherman, but like a guide fisherman type, you know, going on rivers and things like that, lakes. And when I met him, he was kind of a skeptic. He hadn't had any experiences, but he just had an experience and had to tell me about it. So I'm going to play that phone call. I asked him permission to air this call of his to share what he experienced.
I just wanted to let you know I had an experience finally.
How'd that go?
And what I heard up on the Queets River, I had 2:30 or 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. We were up on the Queets River, and we went up, and we were going to drop the anchor to fish a slot. And I heard it just before he turned the motor off to, you know, to get the anchor set.
Mm-hmm.
Heard kind of a noise, and then he turned the motor off. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and I go, "Do you hear that?" He goes, "Yeah, you guys be quiet. Let's listen." And it did it again. I can't imitate it. Like, my friend James does a pretty good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a wow whoop, at the end. And it was the most, I've never heard that before. I know for a fact what I heard was a Bigfoot. I know it 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I had the Indian guide in the boat with me, and he said, "Yeah, no, that was one. Yeah, that's definitely a Bigfoot."
Yeah.
Then we got an answer back, but it was off to our right and quite a ways away. You couldn't hear it near as good as the other one we heard. But
mm-hmm.
until you actually hear it, you know, I've never heard that before, ever, for number one. In fact, I've never even heard anything close to that, Johnny. So it's so odd. It strikes you as so odd that it's like, what the, you know?
Right, right.
Never had a noise ever do that to me. Anything. Never.
That's awesome.
But when it did the... And it was a wow, instead of any, it was a long, kind of a drawn out wow, stopped and went whoop at the end.
Yeah, you knew it wasn't a bear or a cat or a dog or a...
Well, the guide, Indian guide that I was with, he says, "Rick, there's nothing over there. It's woods. That's it. There's no roads. There's no houses. There's nothing. There's no way it could be a person unless they hiked in and did it." And then, you know what? I got to thinking about that. And I looked at Ruben, and then I looked at the other guys. And I said, "Man, we could scream down around the corner from where we're at, and we wouldn't hear it with all the trees in here. There's just no way." I said, "Whatever that was had a vocal system on it. There's no way. I mean, I bet it's 4 miles back in there, guys, at least."
Wow.
So the power of the scream, the vocals that it made,
uh-huh.
It was the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life. I know, in fact, I told a couple people I've told this to face-to-face, I said, "God strike me dead if that wasn't a Bigfoot." and they all kind of looked up like, "Oh, don't wish that." You know what I mean? But that's
right.
How sure I was.
Right.
You know, I know what I heard.
Right.
And, you know, if I hadn't gone to these seminars, well, no, even, you know, I'm telling you the truth, even if I haven't gone to any Bigfoot seminars or anything,
mm-hmm.
I would have put that together because I was always into Bigfoot and waiting for some kind of sighting or, you know, because I'm in the field all the time fishing.
Right.
But that was my first legitimate incident with any kind of Sasquatch. And what I heard, there was no doubt that whoop at the end is what did it for me. Oh, and then another, we came down river a couple of corners down. We ran into a drift boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so we motored real quietly below them so we didn't disturb their water and got back in and dropped the anchor again down below. And all of a sudden we hear a whoop, but this is people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I turned around and looked upstream and I said, "Oh, I hope it wasn't them guys doing that," because they made a howl, right? They
right.
howled. And I said, "You think it could have been these guys?" And you know what? I don't think it was, but I'm going to find out. So we waved the guys down in the drift boat. They pulled their anchor and came down, anchored next to us. I said, "Hey, you guys been making that noise like that for quite a while?" He goes, "No, we were answering it back." And I looked at everybody. I said, "I told you they heard it too." So, you know, I mean, there's another verification. They heard it, too. So,
right.
Total 6 people, 4 in our boat and 2 in a drift boat.
Right.
And we all heard the same thing, but I think we might have heard it a little better because we were further up from where they were, I think.
That's awesome.
Amazing, Johnny. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing it with me, man.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's so exciting to finally hear something that you've never heard before.
Right.
Out in the woods like that, and that was on the Queets.
Right.
You know, to be able to fish. Oh, we got a 21-pound steelhead too, Johnny. I was so impressed of my experience that there's no doubt what I heard was a Sasquatch, and there was another one answer, but it was so far away. It was the same type of noise it made back, but not quite.
Right.
Because of the distance, I couldn't quite hear it as good.
Yeah.
But this other one, it was some kind of a, I don't know, some kind of a call. It was letting it know that somebody was in the, no, it was too far away. It was just, I guess they were just doing what they do.
Yeah.
You know how they communicate out there. I'm telling you, I'm not a bullsh**. But what I heard, you know, I mean, this is 3 days later, and I just can't get it out of my head. It's just like, I wanted it to happen so bad, and everybody I talked to on Bigfoot said, don't do that. That isn't the way you approach these things.
Right.
You got to kind of keep your guard down. I mean, you can, but if you're trying for it, it probably, you know, it's very rare thing to even hear one or see one or whatever, but it's when you least expect it. It's when your event will happen.
Right.
And you know, I was all day long, every time I'm over there, I'm always saying, hey, guys, now, serious, we're in Bigfoot country. You'd be looking in the woods along the bank, and we come around these corners in this jet boat and see if something's running back towards the woods, because you're in Bigfoot country. You know, I make people aware of that all day long.
Yeah.
Man, there should be a squatch over there on that bank, you know. Look up in the tree line, you know. So, yeah, I take a whole different... I'm fishing, but I'm looking for Bigfoot too now, then
right.
Over that way.
So there's his experience. He didn't see one, but him and a couple other people that were with him all heard this. What do you think?
Well, I think that what's telling about this is that he couldn't get it out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear something that's not real, I mean, that you kind of forget about it after probably a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear something like that, and there's the sense inside you, it touches you inside, you know it's real. It sticks with you. You can't just forget about it. You keep remembering it. It touches something in your brain that triggers this emotion, helps you to remember what happened because of the realness of it. I think sometimes we have experiences and we aren't sure what they are. We have experiences that, you know, we see it one day and we forget about it the next. But when it sticks with you for 3 or 4 or 5 days, there's something to that. There's some reality to that. And I think we need to remember that when we're out hearing these things. If it affects you deeply, talk to somebody about it. Talk to us about it.
Yeah.
You know, we get people that just get on the website and send us messages that aren't even asking questions, but just talk about what they've experienced. We've had people come in, call in, or write in. Just talk about their perceptions of what they heard on the show or what they thought about the UFO or the Shroud of Turin or the, you know, the near-death experience or the haunted house.
We got to wrap up this segment at Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. And coming up, we're going to talk with David Ellis, audio specialist of the Olympic Project, and I think we're going to play some of the whoop that our friend had called up and tried to describe. David has gone through his library of alleged Sasquatch sounds, and I think he's found something close to what those guys heard. And we'll also talk to Alita DB from MUFON. All that and more coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and on the phone we have Mr. David Ellis of the Olympic Project. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear both of you guys.
Wonderful. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great, Billy.
Good, good.
So, you've talked to our friend that called with the kind of experience about what they had heard.
Yes.
What do you think? What's your take on this?
Well, after interviewing him, I took it upon myself to actually talk either by phone or email all of the witnesses. And so I got a chance to hear everybody's story. And it was, slightly different from each person. And I expected that if it was all a canned speech, then I'd be a little bit maybe more leery. But since I got a little bit different story from everybody, I thought, okay, this really happened, you know, and they're telling me exactly what they witnessed, not what, you know, everybody else decided that they witnessed. So they didn't get together and, you know, have a canned speech. They told me what really happened. And so I got it that they heard a vocalization. And so I sent everybody one of the real long, typical Sasquatch vocalizations. And they came back and said, no, that wasn't it. And one of the witnesses, I won't mention his name unless he gives me permission, but for now I'll just say he's a gentleman that was in the boat, but he has a musical background, and he claims perfect pitch. And I said, oh, well, this is great. Could you recreate what you heard? And he said, Yeah, I think so. And I said, better yet, could you record that for me and send it to me? And he says, well, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And so he actually conferred with one of the other guys just to make sure that he was doing it accurately or similar to what they heard. And they all came back and said, yeah, that's the vocalization. Send that off to David. So he did. I took that vocalization and I enhanced it a little bit to make it more like what, you know, being on a river might be, with a little bit of echo and a little more oomph to the call, because it was a very, very good recording that he sent to me. And, you know, it was like recorded in a studio kind of a thing. So I wanted to get it more of an outdoor flair. So I then sent that back to everybody, and they said, yeah, that's it. And I said, well, you know what I really would like to do is see if I can find that vocalization in the library, because it's not a typical Sasquatch vocalization. I knew I had heard it before, but I've heard hundreds of clips. So I had to go through my archives. I had a suspicion where I might have heard it. So I conferred with another expert on the East Coast. He goes by the handle of Monongahela, and I've been working with him since 2010. And we send each other clips back and forth. And I was pretty sure it was one of his clips that he had sent me at one point in time that might be the culprit. And I was suspecting the Michigan Project, but I didn't tell him that. I said, if you've got any recollection or knowledge of a vocalization like this, please compare it to what you've got. And if you have anything, send it to me. Well, he emailed me back right away and said, yeah, I have heard that vocalization before, and it's related to the Michigan Project. And I can say the Michigan Project because it's online now. People can find it on their own. But for the longest time, it was really held close to the vest. Not many people have access to those recordings. So what's interesting to me is that this is kind of a one-off vocalization, and here it is recorded on the Quinault Nation. So I find that interesting, and I did do a spectrogram on it. And for those that aren't up on what a spectrogram is, it's a visual representation of the voice. In other words, a voice print. And so I did a comparison, side by side comparison, and you can see that they are different and similar at the same time, which is what I would expect. We're not Sasquatch, so our voices are a little bit different, and you can see that in the spectrogram, but the tone of the vocalization and the call are dead on. So we have a match of a suspicious vocalization recorded in Michigan to a suspicious vocalization here in Washington State, separated by time and distance.
So you took the Michigan one that is allegedly or could be, it's an unknown, but we think it's a Sasquatch, and you compared it to the recreation that
Correct.
The musician made.
That's it, exactly. And then I sent it back to them, and to a T there, that's it, that's what we heard. So
wow.
It was a fun exercise. So even if we don't capture a vocalization, which they suspect they didn't. Now, there is one person in the boat, the captain, that thinks that somebody may have been filming somebody casting, because they were fishing mm-hmm. on the river, and during the time of one of the vocalizations. They're not sure, but it's a possibility. So that's the next thing that we're kind of working on now, is maybe if the person that maybe have done some filming could send me the actual audio.
And oh.
Now, wouldn't that be fun if
right.
that turns wow. out to be real?
So be were great. They just filming on their phone or something? Or?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant like they were filming a Bigfoot movie and it kind of nulled this whole thing. But you're just talking they whipped their camera out to try to get
yeah,
some.
Yeah, so somebody, it's possible. Not that it's a fact, but that it was suspected by the captain of the boat that it's possible that that was recorded. So we'll find out. Even if they don't suspect, I'm asking them if anybody did do any filming, I want that video because I can pull the audio off of that.
Right.
And then
right.
then analyze it, look and see what we got.
Mm, that's juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Juicy.
Yeah. It's fun stuff.
Would you be able to play any of the, like, the Michigan call by chance?
Yeah, sure. Have you heard the comparison?
Wait, yeah, I think I have.
Okay. The comparison has his vocal and the Michigan project
okay.
vocal.
Okay.
Alternating.
That's right.
Wow! Whoop!
So is the Michigan project like the Olympic project, but just in Michigan?
Yes.
Who came up with the project part in their name first?
Good question. I don't know. I know of them. I don't know them personally.
Oh, so they could have just like taken
or
the
Or they
Olympic...
could claim that we took. I don't know. I don't know who came first.
Any cool things been going on with the Olympic project or Sasquatch audio or anything?
Oh, yeah. There's a gal that I want to bring on. I think we've talked about her, Julie Wrench from Monster X. She and I have been analyzing audio that she's recording in the Uwari National, well, not in the National Forest. They live adjacent to, and so their forest is connected to the Uwari from their property. But interestingly, she just thought, I'm outside quite a bit, and I'm hearing coyotes and some strange things. And I said, oh, why don't you start recording for me, and I'll see what you got. And so she did. We've got quite a library of very strange sounds.
You are so, such an audio junkie.
I know. I know. Yeah. I'll convince anybody to turn on a tape recorder and send me the stuff.
So somebody records, like they go outside in the woods and they record everything they hear.
It's just as simple as going outside, placing your recorder in a safe place so that the rain or the moisture can't get to it.
Yeah.
And turning on the recorder. Now, if they're concerned that, you know, the volume may be low, I have the ability to enhance any audio and bring forward the vocal that we want to hear and reduce the noise, the background noise.
Yeah, so you can separate out all the other noises to find those that are unusual.
Yes.
Well, David, we're going to let you go on this, but thanks for your time and putting all the work into this.
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Again, that's David Ellis of the Olympic Project. And when I got the call, because David's a good friend of mine, I texted him, hey, something happened. And yeah. So we kind of...
And he's a very smart, technologically astute guy.
Oh, totally.
And I think he's probably one of the more credible people in the paranormal world.
He's world famous, you know.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah. And so are we, but it's a very small world.
Go ahead.
I think that the things that David produces are very, not just believable in the sense of we want to believe them, but believable in the sense that we could call them facts. We could call them provable facts. Because he does a lot of work to specifically identify sounds. He doesn't just pick a sound and say, that's a Sasquatch.
Right.
He researches this. He compares those sounds to thousands of other sounds.
And I don't think he's ever said, this is a Sasquatch in anything, whether it's visually or with audio.
Yeah.
It's always... It's unknown,
it's an unknown,
or a it's a suspicious sound or suspicious creature, suspicious whatever, making it because you know we don't know, and he doesn't want to use anecdotal evidence. He wants science as much as possible.
Right. He uses a very scientific approach, and I love that. I love that his the work that he does is just very, very credible.
Okay. Next up. Alita DB from MUFON.
I'm here with Alita DB from MUFON and the MUFON Experiencer team. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How long have you been involved with MUFON?
For about 20 years.
How did you get involved with them?
All of a sudden, one day, I had to know about UFOs. And so I went to a meeting and I met Jim Clarkson. And he cryptically called me at work and said, are you the person who wanted to talk to me about a certain subject? And I said, yes, I am. And we met, and I became part of MUFON. And then I became a field investigator.
Now, what does that entail?
That entails taking a... There's a very thick book that you have to read and study, and it involves the stars, it involves... all of astronomy, it involves all of learning the aviation signals and lights and things, and it involves what to look for when you're searching for UFOs or talking about aliens. And it's a very thick book, and there's a lot to study, and you learn it all, and you take a test.
You passed the test.
I did pass the test.
And you work along with Maureen Morgan quite a bit, right?
Yes, I do, yes.
What made you get together with her? Was it did you guys live close together? And, oh, we're both in MUFON, or how did that work?
When Jim Clarkson asked me if I would become the director when he quit, because I was assistant director, I said, no, I have a grandson. I don't have time.
Right.
And so I said, I think Maureen Morgan would be a very good director. So he asked her, and she did. She became director.
So you're part of the Experiencer team. What is the Experiencer team?
We are a team of approximately 15 people right now from the headquarters of MUFON. And I was one of the first five, I believe. And what it is we... have folks, we have a questionnaire on the MUFON site to find out if you feel like you're an experiencer. And once people fill that out, then they are assigned one of the team members to talk to them, to hear their story. Mm-hmm. And our job is simply to listen and see if we can help them cope with it or explain things if they have questions, or at least make them comfortable with feeling that they're not alone in this whole thing.
It seems like when people say alien abduction and the ones that aren't smirking, it's like they don't realize that it could be traumatic. Do you find a lot of experiencers are traumatized?
If you are an experiencer, you're probably traumatized whether you realize it or not, because it really does change your entire feeling about life. it makes you realize that we, in our egotistical ways, are not the only ones in this universe. And that changes a lot of our feelings about how we deal with our own planet and people. And it suddenly makes us feel, I think it makes us feel more together as humanity rather than the individual groups that are always fighting with each other. Mm-hmm. We are humanity, and now we have to look at our neighbors on the outside of Earth and realize that we're all together in this. And we're all together with them, too.
Have you had any interactions with aliens yourself?
No, I don't believe I ever have.
Okay.
And I think there's a reason for that. I think that the reason they did not choose me is because I needed to be neutral. I didn't need to have my own experiences coloring theirs, the other people's. And so my job is to be a kind of a neutral, central conduit, I guess, or just a sounding board for anybody who comes at me with any type of experience, if that makes sense.
Right. How do you filter out the liars or the ones that maybe think that they've had this experience but it was actually just a dream, or maybe ones that thought it was a dream but it wasn't? I mean, how do you figure that out, or do you?
I don't need to.
Right.
I listen, and whether or not they truly are an experiencer doesn't matter. They have a story to tell. And so I listen, and it helps them to sort out what their feelings are. A lot of people believe that they really aren't experiencers, when really deep down they may be. In fact, my theory, and this is strictly a theory, that most people have been experiencers at some time or another. They've had some sort of experience. It may be just paranormal, or it may be with the ETs. And they're all kind of related. We're trying to sort that out.
How do I find out if I've been abducted or have had an experience with an ET?
You could, if you wanted to, be hypnotized and find out some things. But don't just be hypnotized by a normal, everyday hypnotist. You have to go to somebody who's gone through the training for this particular aspect of our psyche.
So not like the kind I'd find in a bar and we're all up there and he's making me, you know, do whatever.
Not that
things.
Kind, that's
okay.
For sure. No.
Okay.
And a lot of people have been trained by somebody by the name of Dolores Cannon. She was kind of the first one that started working with people and realizing that it was ET who was causing this problem that they were having. And so she developed a very strict way of dealing with it so that it did not lead people to believe that they were abducted or anything. It just got the story out of them. And she trained a lot of hypnotists, a lot of therapists in that technique. And it's very important. There are a number of people. And MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, has a list of qualified people out there that they've vetted pretty carefully. MUFON has, if you look on the MUFON website, Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON.org, they have a place where you can see the experiencer research team. It's on the very front page. And if they click on that, they go to a questionnaire. And it kind of helps to be able to fill out that questionnaire and find out how many of the questions match up with their experiences. And that helps. But it doesn't tell everything.
Right.
But there are a multitude of books out there. And if they go to anything with Yvonne Smith, for example, she has YouTubes out there that talk a lot about this sort of thing. You can kind of get a feeling for what really has happened to you by looking at those YouTubes.
Thinking back of some of the things that you were telling me, kind of like your role in the experience, your research team, it almost seems like you're like a support therapist almost. Is that safe to say?
It's safe to say, but I'm not really qualified.
Yeah, I'm not certified
or anything like that. I'm just mainly a sounding board. I believe that by talking about what's happened to you, you can quite often figure it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to give my opinion because you end up connecting the dots. That's really the key. If you are talking about something, the more you talk, the more the dots start to connect in your mind, and you say, oh my gosh, when I was 3 years old, I had this experience with this little character that came in and had a game with me, played a little game with me, and made me want to lift things up with my mind and things like that. Then you know, and you might not even remember it unless you start talking or writing down things. And keeping a journal is really important on these too, because it helps you to realize that some of these dreams that you're having aren't really dreams. They might be true.
What about those that when you say, I'm with MUFON or the Experiencer Research Team, and do you ever get many of the smirks and, oh, yeah, you believe in that stuff, do you? Do you ever get that kind of
stuff? I used to.
Yeah?
But it's becoming less now. There is more and more understanding that maybe this really is true. And I think people are starting to realize how silly it is to think that we are the only ones in the universe.
So, Alita DB, MUFON.
Very good.
UFO Paranormal Summit.
Very,
noisy?
Noisy, yes, but you can hear. We should build a little soundproof booth
right,
where we can do interviews.
Yeah, that'd
be
cool.
Yeah.
Get on that, will you?
All right, I'll get on it. I'll build us a booth. I thought what she said was very credible, and you know, this is the kind of rational reporting that's so important in all of our paranormal experiences. You know, as I said before, I think MUFON, it's a real down-to-earth organization, and they're very reality-based, you know, and they're willing to talk to people and listen to what you have to say, whether, you know, it's totally outrageous or whether it, you know, falls within the guidelines of what they consider a true UFO experience.
Speaking of outrageous, make sure you check out strangeharbor.net, some of the strange stories and videos and presentations we've been posting. I think that you'll walk away not... you'll have your fill of strangeness by hitting the website. You feel me?
I feel you.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to contact us or share your experience with us, you log on to strangeharbor.net if you want to yell at Bill for his New Age TUI. You know? You want to do your
thing. Or if you'd like to be part of the New Age TUI.
Yeah. Right?
Whatever. But stay strange.
Hey, you did it.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.